Father, we pause before we begin looking intently at your word this morning just to say to you how much we love you. We calm ourselves. We're amazed that the God of the universe is even attentive to our prayers, but it's true, you are. Because there is Jesus at your right hand, and he is our advocate, and he is our trailblazer, and he is the one who has given us access. We're dressed in his robes of righteousness, and because we're in Christ, you bid us to come, and you say, come, come in your needy times. And God, we're needy people. We're living in a needy day. We're living in a fragile day. We're living in a day, Father, where we need you. Our country is so desperate for you. And so, Father, this morning, the wisest choice we can make as women is to come and be women who study your word. And I pray that Oasis would be just that, a time away where we're soaking ourselves and basking in the beauty and the wonder of your word. And that as we do that, as we come to your word, it's alive and it's active and it has power in our lives and it gives us direction and it heals our emotions and it helps us and we get training so that we can be women who walk in righteousness, who walk in ways that please you. So this morning, Father, as we study your word, give us attentive hearts. I thank you for every woman that got up this morning and she said, now I'm going to make preparation to put myself in the position of hearing the word of God. And so, Father, just meet us this morning. Speak to us very personally. Minister in our hearts, Father, to make us women who are mature and who are whole and who are kingdom women who are useful to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been studying the book of James, and this is our fourth lesson in the book of James. And we're finding out that James is all about test. It's just a whole bunch of tests. So we're taking the test as we're going through the book of James. And this morning we're going to start our third test. Now, I have to tell you, I really went too long last time. So I have decided to split this test into two lessons. And that's going to be hard. That means you have to come for two straight weeks or you're not going to get the whole test. And I kind of hate to do that, but there's just no way I can really cover all of this test in one Sunday school lesson. So raise your hand and say, I promise I'll be here next week. Okay? Now, what was the first test? The first test was how you respond to what? Do you remember? To trials. Trials in life. Trials come to everybody. They're various. James says. And so he says this, you need, and it's a command, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. And that was a command to us. And then in that we looked at how he showed us how we can count it all joy when we go through trials. Test two was, how do you respond to temptation? And we found out that how we respond to temptation indicates if we are for real. And that was last week's lesson. Now here comes test number three. In this test, the Word of God is going to be the focal point. And how do you, number one, and that's this week's lesson, how do you receive the Word of God? And then number two, next week's lesson, how do you respond to the Word of God? So it's going to be about hearing, and it's going to be about doing. And those are the two parts of this test. How do you feel about the Word of God? How do you respond? How do you listen? How do you react? What is your desire about God's Word? Do you obey God's Word? The way you live your life concerning the Word of God reveals if you and your faith are genuine. If you really have saving faith, it gives you, so to speak, your spiritual temperature. What's your spiritual temperature this morning? I'm going to stick the thermometer in your mouth. We're going to have to keep that thermometer until next week. And next week we'll take it out when we see the whole picture. That's a long time to keep a thermometer. So let's start by looking this morning at verse 18. Our test is really going to start in verse 19, but I want to direct your attention, first of all, to verse 18. Look at it with me in chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1. We're going to be finishing up chapter 1 this week and next week. Now look at verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. And then he goes into verse 19, and he says this little phrase, this you know, my beloved brethren. Now you have to say, and your version may say, wherefore or therefore. And so whenever you see that in Scripture, you say to yourself, wherefore is the therefore. Why did he say that? So that little this you know is linking us back up to verse 18. This you know, oh my beloved brethren. James loves the people he's writing. Now let me just remind you, James was the pastor of the very first church that was born in Jerusalem. And when Stephen was stoned, after that happened, great persecution broke out in Jerusalem against Christians. And Christians had to flee for their lives. And so all of James' congregation has run away. They've gone everywhere, all across the face of the Roman Empire. And he doesn't know where they all are. He doesn't know what's happened to them. He doesn't know how they're doing spiritually. He is their pastor. He loves his flock. And so he writes this book. He's concerned that they've got into real bad, hard times, and they've forsaken the faith. Forsaken? Is that a word? Forsaken their faith. And he's so afraid that they are going to miss it. And so he says, good morning, Jenny. Have we got room? Is there a chair for Jenny? There's one right here, Jenny. Glad you're here. And so he writes this letter, and he's sending it out to them, and it's full of exhortations, it's full of commands, and he loves them, and he calls them, you are my beloved brethren. But, I mean, it's a strong word he's giving them. Now look back at verse 18 again. Let me just point out a phrase to you. And it says there, in the exercise of his will, he brought us forth. Now that sounds like we're being born, doesn't it? Well, that's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about the new birth. Now notice and study your Bible with me. How were you born again to this faith? It was by what? What's the next phrase? What is one? What am I looking for? You're scared. But study your Bible, verse 18. What does it say in verse 18? You were brought forth by? Yay! That was so easy. It was not a trick question. The word of truth. How are you saved? How are you saved? You heard what? The word. The word of God about whom? Jesus and what he did. Now, how did you hear that message? It was the gospel that you heard. And when you heard the word, it got into your heart. It was like a seed that got planted inside of you, and it caused you to be born again. Now, look at that verse again. So that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. And they were. They were the first church ever born. They were the first fruits. And when they heard the word, it caused them to be born again. And then he says, for this reason. Now he's talking here about the word of God. It's the word that brings about new birth. Now listen, it's the word that brings about spiritual growth. That's why Peter, just turn to Peter, go over a few books to 1 Peter 2, and let's look at verse 1 through 3. Just a few books over, 1 Peter, well just actually one book over, 2, not 2, verse 3, no, where did I say? Was it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, but wait a minute, I don't think that's it. Yes, it is. Therefore, Peter says, put aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander.
And here's the verse I want you to see. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Now, I babysit a lot, obviously. And one of my babies right now is a breast baby. I'm happy to keep that breast baby, but I can't feed that breast baby. And so I'm at the house, and I'm keeping McKee. And McKee gets hungry, and Estelle is out on her errands, and she's coming home in a little bit, and she says he's going to be fine till 4 o'clock. Well, about 3 o'clock, we start getting fussy. And it just, you know what? I rock. Rocking doesn't do it. I sing. Singing doesn't do it. I give toys. Toys don't do it. Nothing's going to do it but what? That breast. That baby wants milk. And by the time she gets home, he's letting it known all throughout the house that he's ready for his feeding. Now, like a newborn baby, you need to be craving the Word of God. Because by it, you grow in regards to salvation. Now look, it was the Word of God you heard and you got born again. But that was just the very start of your spiritual life. Now, like a newborn baby, there's something else you need. You got to feed on the Word. Feed on the Word. Suck that baby bottle all the time. You need to be craving that baby bottle of the Word of God just like a newborn craves milk. And that's a very good analogy. Now, today we're going to talk about the Word of God. And James is going to start today by saying to us how we're supposed to receive the Word of God. Now, this part of Scripture you've probably never studied in context before. And so when he says, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and be slow to become angry, you're thinking, well, that's just wonderful advice for life. I'll just take that and put it in my pipe and smoke it, because I need to know those things. Well, it really is true to be quick to listen and slow to speak. That helps in relationships. But if you look at this whole section of Scripture in this test, you're going to see that the context here is just not rules for living. He's talking about the Word of God. Now let's just read through, starting with verse 19. Let's get the whole little test in our mind, and then I'm going to come back and take half of it today, half of it next week. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. And if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. This is pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep one unstained by the world. Now, let's stop for a minute. We're going to take the first half of that and talk about it this morning. We're going to talk about the receiving of God's Word. That's what James is going to start with first. Now, the key word in the verses is the word receive. The word receive. The issue here is, how do you receive the Word of God? Have you noticed that studying the Bible doesn't just happen automatically? You know, it just doesn't happen automatically. It really requires commitment. It does. That's why I say if you'll just come to Sunday school 6 straight weeks, you'll get hooked on the Word of God because you won't want to miss it. And one reason I love teaching is that, you know what, it just makes me sit in the Word of God because I'm always preparing a lesson to teach. And when you prepare a lesson to teach, you have to thoroughly study it for yourself, so that it's in your heart, don't you? So the first point today on our outline is this. He says, you need to receive the Word of God with a submissive heart. With a submissive heart. Now, I'm going to show you what that looks like right here. You should receive it with a submissive heart. And then, you know, he says, so let everyone be. And he's going to give us three imperatives and three commands. But I want you to notice, it's a command to everyone. That includes you and I this morning. So number one, be quick to listen. That may be in your version, quick to hear. Number two, slow to speak. Number three, slow to anger or slow to wrath. Now let's talk about those three. The first one, be quick to listen. Now what does he mean? And as I said, is he just saying you need to be a good listener? You need to listen to people when they talk to you. That's really not the context here. The issue here is God's Word. For example, verse 18, the Word of Truth. Verse 21, the implanted Word. Verse 22, be doers of the Word. Verse 23, the Word is called a glass or a mirror. Verse 25, it's called the perfect law of liberty. So in these verses, we see God's Word is the theme. So when James says, be quick to listen, listen to what? Be quick to listen to what? Well, it's the Word of God. Be quick to listen to the Word of God. It's how you're responding to God's Word that is His concern. Now, here's the idea. He's saying to these people and to us, be eager to grasp every opportunity to increase your hearing of God's Word. You need to pursue every occasion to obtain the knowledge of God. And to be seeking His divine will, which is revealed in His Word. And this is a mark of a true person, of a true believer. True believers run to hear the Word of God. They long to hear the Word of God. We talked about trials. When we go through trials, trials are difficult. Trials demand wisdom. And they demand strength. What is going to provide that in your life? Well, it's the Word of God. We talked about temptations. And some of us go through tests that take us to our very limits, but we go to the Word of God. And we receive strength to resist. This is what the psalmist said. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, it's the Word of God that is my anchor that holds me. The Word of God is our welcome friend. We commune through the living God, with the living God, through His Word. Now let's just do a little inventory. Let me ask you some questions. Do you really hunger for God's Word? Do you really hunger for God's Word? Do you have an appetite for God's Word? Or do you say, well, I could just take it or leave it? That's what we want to know. And James says, if you want to test yourself this morning, ask yourself this question. Am I quick to listen? Do I want to hear the Word of God? Here's the second thing. Be slow to speak. And what he means here is very interesting. Very interesting. In the Greek, this is what he's saying. As quick as you are to listen, be just that slow to speak. Here's the idea. You and I should pursue eagerly every opportunity to hear God's Word taught or proclaimed. But we should very cautiously, very slowly, very patiently, with great reluctance, ever be the speaker. We're going to go over a few chapters in James, and you know what he's going to say? Don't let many of you be teachers. You shouldn't have a whole bunch of teachers. Because a teacher falls under greater condemnation. In other words, if you stand up and teach God's Word, God's going to make sure you are obeying God's Word. He's very, very jealous about His Word. So reluctance to offer ourselves in the place of preaching or teaching because we sense its significance. So James is saying, listen to the Word. Learn to listen to the Word. Every time you have a chance. And learn to be very slow to be a teacher. I've been teaching now for over 20 years. I was just thinking about myself. And somebody said, well, Tracy, you ever get nervous? I don't ever get nervous when I teach.
I love to teach. I get exhilarated. I love it. The only time I ever get nervous is when I'm unprepared. And look, sometimes I have nightmares. And you know what my nightmare is? I'm coming to speak and to teach a lesson, and I haven't done my homework, and I'm not prepared, and I'm just getting up there trying to wing it. And that's a nightmare to me. It takes a lot of time to put your thoughts together, to learn the Word of God for yourself, so that you can get up and teach it to other people. And not only that, I've got to be sure when I teach it that I'm a doer of it. Because if I get up and teach it to you, and then I turn around and I don't live it, that is hypocrisy. And see, God's going to judge me for that. So I have to rightly divide God's Word. And it takes a long time. And I'll just tell you, I never have an original thought. I'm not that smart. I just read a lot of people who have good thoughts about God's Word, and I put it together to teach. So number one, listen to the Word. Number two, be slow to be a teacher. Now here's number three, be slow to anger. What does he mean? Now, anger is a human emotion. We all feel anger. Now, there are two words for anger. Here's the first one in the Greek. O-R-G-E. And here's the second one. T-H-U-M-O-S. The word he's using here is the first one. O-R-G-E. And that anger, it's speaking of an inside, deep resentment. Guess what thumos is? That's an explosive outburst of anger. This is an inside anger. It's an anger that's in me, and I'm just kind of resentful. It's a smoldering resentment in our hearts. So here's the context of what James is saying. He says, listen to the word. Be careful not to be so quick to teach the word. And don't be angry. Now, what does that mean? It means, you know what? I'm living my life down here. And I hear God's word. Sometimes I don't like what I hear. Because you know what? When I hear the word of God, did you know God's way is a narrow way? It's a very narrow way. And so sometimes when I hear the word of God, and my life is way over here, and God is calling me to get my life in line with his word, it makes me angry on the inside and resentful. Maybe because I don't want to do that. I like my lifestyle. And God is calling me to change my lifestyle. He's confronting me in my life. And very often people who hear, they're hostile to the truth. And you know what? They'll get mad at the teacher. That's happened to me so many times. That's why I don't ever want to say, this is what I think. It's not what I think. It's what does God's word say? And that's why in this Sunday school class, we're not going to talk about opinions. We're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about, well, what do you think? What do I think? What does that group think? What does the world think? We're just going to say, what does God say? What does God's word say? And the Bible, and James says, listen, run to the word, receive the word, but don't let it cause you to have a deep resentment in your heart. Don't resist it. Now, why? Look at verse 20 and you'll see why. Because the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You can't produce what is right before God if you're going to have resentment and anger and bitterness in your heart. So James is saying, when you come to the Word of God, don't resent it. Don't build up a bitterness and an anger in your heart against God because you don't like what they're saying, or because maybe you just don't personally agree, or maybe because it's confronting your sin. You know what? This is just me. And ever since I was saved, this is my attitude. And I'm so glad God gave me this attitude. I just want to do it his way. I'm so happy he saved me. And my attitude is, God, I just want to be an obedient daughter. I don't want to be rebellious. I don't want to rebel against your word. I've had to go through discipline several times spiritually. That's not fun. And I just want to say, God, I just want to do it your way. Your way is the best way. I'm convinced of that. And I'm old now. I'm 56. I didn't just get there suddenly, but it's just better to do it his way. And you young girls, if y'all would just learn that, just do it God's way. You will forego so much hard times. Is that not true? It is true. Just like, God, I just want to be your woman. I want to do it your way. And that's how I come to God's word.
If he says do it this way, you know what? I want to do it that way. I believe his word is true. Do you? You see, the wrath of man doesn't produce the righteousness of God. And if I'm going to get into bitterness, and I'm going to get into rebellion, and I'm going to get into disobedience, I am going to be at a detour spiritually in my life. Detours aren't fun. Just don't get on the detours. Just stay on the main highway and obey, obey, obey. Be quick to hear. Put yourself in every position. Watching these wonderful seminars. Read these fantastic books. Hear these awesome preachers that are all over the internet. You've got every availability to you. Study it. Bask in it. Saturate yourself in God's word. And don't be resentful of it. Just say, God, I want to be a woman that does it your way. I want to be a woman that does it your way. Now, you are, number two, to receive the word with purity. Notice what verse 21 says. Your version may say, for this reason, or your version may say, therefore. He says, because of this, put off all filthiness and abundance of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Now, once again, we see that word received. It's a key word in this passage. Did you notice there's something you need to put off? You need to put off something before you receive the word. And you've got to unload some things in your life. He says two things, filthiness and wickedness. The word filthiness, I did a little word study on it. It's a fascinating word. And it means filthy clothes. Take off your filthy clothes. That's the meaning of the word. But it comes from a root word in the Greek. And this is so interesting to me. And the Greek word in the Greek means to have wax in the ear. So what he's saying here is get rid of any dirty wax in your ear that would keep you from hearing the word of God. It's a very vivid thought there. And the word wickedness, that just means all general evil. And you know what James is saying? He said, look, guys, wickedness, evil, filthiness, all that yucky stuff, it has got to go. People, get rid of it. And then when you put all that off, receive the word. Receive the word. Receive it. Beautiful thought. Here's the third thought. Receive the word with a humble heart. And that's the next phrase in our verse, in verse 21. You receive with meekness the implanted word, and then notice, which is able to save your souls. Now, the word meekness is a beautiful word. The word meekness means humility. What does it mean? Well, it means really that you're teachable. Are you teachable? You know, some of us are just naturally born with a temperament that is more teachable than other people. Are you teachable? Some of us are born with a strong will, and we have to experience life, and we have to hammer it out, and we have to find out for ourselves. Now, I've got five children, so I have some in both categories. But this is saying be teachable. Let the Word of God teach you without resentment, without anger, without pride. And that word meekness, it is really almost untranslatable. It's the word P-R-A-U-T-E-S in the Greek. Sometimes it's translated humble. Sometimes gentle. Sometimes meek. Sometimes it says willing spirit. But what it really means is to be teachable. Now he says, receive with meekness the word of God in your souls, which is able to save your souls. Now I want you to notice something else here. It's a command. It's a command. It's not, well, maybe you might want to do it. It's a command, and in the Greek, it carries a real sense of urgency. You are to come to the Word of God with a teachable spirit. And it's not passive. It's very, very active. And you're receiving this word planted. That's a real rich word in the Greek. Now, why do you want to receive it? Because it's able to save your souls. And that, in the Greek, is a present participle. Now, let me tell you what that means. It means the Word of God is continually powerful and able to save your soul.
Now, that's where I want us to talk for a minute about salvation. Because there are tenses of salvation. There's a past tense, a present tense, and a future tense. In the past tense, there was a point in time when I started my spiritual journey. Now, I don't remember the date, and I don't know exactly how old I was or anything, but it was about when I was 19 or 20 years old. Wish I'd written the date down, but I didn't. But one night, sitting in a revival service, I got saved. That was the beginning of my spiritual journey. I started the race. That term, the big theological term, would be justification. That night, I was justified before God. That night, the Holy Spirit moved into my life. I was born again. It was wonderful. And from that point, old things passed away and new things started to come in my life. Now that brings me to the present tense. That's where I'm living right now. And the present tense is this: I am being saved continually. And the word for that, the theological word, is sanctification. When I was saved, at that point, I was saved from sin's penalty. What is sin's penalty? The wages of sin is death. And God took me that night out of death and placed me into life. And I was delivered from the penalty of death. But notice this, in present tense, I am delivered from sin's power. You see, when I wasn't saved, I didn't have power over sin. You know what? I was a sinner. Satan was my master, and sin was all I knew to do, and I couldn't do anything different. But when I got saved, and I began being sanctified, I had power over sin. You know what? For the first time, I could say no to sin. I can live a life that honored God. God gave me His Spirit, and His Spirit gave me power to say no to sin. And I'm being sanctified. Now, sanctification started right here. You know what? It's like a journey. I began to grow as I heard God's Word. Can I just tell you, I was such a baby. I knew nothing of the Word of God. I had not been raised in a church. I didn't know anything about the ways of God. And I was totally in the dark. And I began to learn. I began to grow. I began to hunger after God's Word. I was just like that baby crying for the bottle. God, I want more of You. I want to learn about You. I want to do it Your way. I want to be a godly woman. Would You make me into a godly woman? He started doing that through the Word. And I started walking in regards to faith, and I started growing. Now look, I'm not where I should be yet. There's still a long way to go, but look, thank goodness, I'm not where I was. I've grown in regards to salvation. That's sanctification. And then there's a future tense to our salvation, and that is this: I will be saved. You see, there's coming a time in the future when I will gloriously be removed from sin's presence. And I will be glorified. I'll get a new body. I told you it's going to be really skinny. And I'm going to be looking good. So I was saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Let this help you in your spiritual life. A lot of times when we get to this part and we mess up, we think, does that mean I'm not saved? No. It just means you confess your sins, you get up, and you walk on in your Christian life. You keep moving and pressing forward, because this is where you're headed. Now notice what he says. It's the Word of God implanted. Receive it with meekness. Have a teachable spirit, because it's able to save your what? Souls. Now, here's my little girl. Here's me. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Now, the spirit is the part of you that is like God. And when I got born again that night so long ago, immediately my spirit was reborn. I was ready to be, as for the body, present with God. But notice I have a soul. That's the seat of my mind, my will, and my emotions. Now you know what has to happen with my soul? My soul has to be restored. Think of Psalm 23 with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He, what? Restores my soul. You see, for all those years before I was saved, I thought a certain way. I made certain decisions, and I felt certain emotions. And that night when I got saved, this part of me didn't just
flip and change overnight. This part of me did, my spirit, but my soul had to be restored. And that word restored in Psalm 23, it means this: to take an old piece of antique furniture and bring it to its original beauty. And that's what had to happen with my mind, my will, and my emotions. And you see, it was the Word of God that got into my life, and it transformed my soul. It's the Word implanted in your life that saves my soul. You say, Teresa, why do I still have stinking thinking? Why do I still do things, feel this way? I would say to you, get in the Word of God. It's able to restore your soul. It'll make you whole in every aspect. And I say this to you every Sunday. You have to learn to think biblically. You don't think, well, I feel this way. No, I feel what God says about me. And when I get in the Word of God and I start rejoicing over who God says I am and what God says about me spiritually and the promises that are there for me, then I become excited and full of great joy because I learn to think biblically. So he's calling us to receive the Word of God, to receive it with a submissive heart. Listen to it. Don't be quick to teach it yet till you learn it good. Make sure you're a prepared speaker and don't let it make you angry. Then to receive it with a pure heart. Get all the filthiness out. You got to get rid of those racing novels, girls. I'm serious. They're not going to produce the righteousness of God in you. Get serious about them. I'm just such a nerd. I just want God's Word, God's Word, God's Word. Because I've learned how wonderful it is. We should be like Mary. Mary and her sister Martha and their brother Lazarus. You know what, Mary? She just wanted to sit at Jesus' feet. There was so much to be done in the house. All those guests were there. She just couldn't get up. She sat at Jesus' feet. She drank in everything he was saying. She just had such a love for him. We should be like Cornelius. There was Peter. He was up on the roof and he was hungry. Men are always hungry. And he was waiting for the food, and he has this dream. He falls into a trance. And the dream says, you need to go to the house of Cornelius. There's a slave coming, and he goes to Cornelius' house. This is what Cornelius said. Cornelius was a Gentile. He said, we're all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. They were just waiting for Peter to get there. We want to hear everything God had to say. We should be like the noble Bereans in the New Testament. When Paul came to them, they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily to find out if it was true. And what about the people in Nehemiah? When the Word of God was found and they read it to the people, those people stood the whole day hearing the Word of God. Now you imagine standing the whole day. And they wept when they heard the Word of God. They were so convicted of their sin, and they wept over their sin. And then they were filled with great joy, and they had a wonderful celebration because they were hearing the Word of the living God. What a privilege. We have the Word of God. I just wish I had words to express how that thrills my heart. This book is our hugest treasure. The Bible says this book is better than gold. Yea, even fine gold. This book is sweeter than honey and that of the honeycomb. This book is most lovely. It's most desirable. It's the most necessary thing we possess. And I'm so grateful. I just love this book. I love this book. I study it for hours and hours, and I can't get enough of it. You'll never plumb the depths of this book. I just feel like I'm still such a surface learner in this book. Do you have the willingness to hear it? Are you receiving it with a pure heart? Are you humbling yourself in it because it's powerful to save your soul? Let this lesson stir up your hearts. I challenge you, come to Sunday school. Come to Sunday school. I'm going to always have more to say than I can say. I'm going to fill every minute with the Word of God. So this week is how do you receive the Word? How do you respond to the Word? And next week is this. You can listen all you want, but if you're not a doer of the Word, you are not for real. It's not enough just to hear. Please don't miss next week. Be doers of the word is what he's going to tell us next week. So don't miss it. Let's pray.
Father, I pray that this would be true of us, that we would be quick to hear your word, that we would always be attentive to where it's being taught. How can we get there? How can we arrange our schedule to be in the environment of the anointed word of God being taught? Because it's able to get in and save our souls. It helps us to think rightly. It helps us to feel rightly. And it helps us to make the right decisions. And then, Father, may we be not angry about what it says. May we just be just obedient daughters. And then next week as we come, may we be doers of it. So, Father, I just pray that you bring every one of these ladies back. I pray that they'll come back to hear part two of this lesson, that we may take the test. Are we hearers of the word and are we doers of the word? And so prove to be for real. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week.